John D. Rockefeller was disciplined. He was very generous, a lot of charity work, but he was ruthless. He was a ruthless business person, okay? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I'm going to be rolling solo tonight. Going to be talking about the 10 habits of John D. Rockefeller. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to say when I wanted something, she'd say, "What do I look like, Rockefeller to you?" And I never understood what that meant, but now I do. You know, picked up this book called The Titan, really big book, but it's the story of John D. Rockefeller. If you're a reader, go ahead and check it out. I have not chopped through it. I've watched a lot of stuff. There's a series, a couple of videos on them. Pretty cool stuff. Go ahead and check it out. Today's show sponsored none other than Achieve Health Alliance, the Achieve Health Plan. Go ahead and check it out at AchieveAlliance.com. Full stack health plan. It's got everything you need, everything you want, all rolled in one. Give us a call. We'll talk to you about it. So that being said, I kind of want to talk about the topic of people look for that magic pill, the million-dollar idea for wealth to grow their business, improve their business, get more clients. And you lean on and you look at people that are they're more successful and you say, what is it, right? What is it? What is it you're doing? How are you doing it? And usually, you know, the Warren Buffetts, the Rockefellers, the Bill Gates, Elon Musk, they'll really break it down to one or two points. And some say it's time management. Some say it's wise work and knowledge, mentors, connection, right place, right time. And none of them are right or wrong, right? It's just it's particular to them. And the thing is, you find that breakthrough point and where you gain that one thing you had lack of. And so many of the things we do is subconsciously, we're analyzing, maybe we're good at them, we don't even know about them. But today I want to talk about some of the systems, some of the things that these habits that John D. Rockefeller did in his time. And those that are not familiar with Rockefeller, he's the richest man ever, okay? You think Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, those guys. Today, his wealth then, if you took it in today's world, he'd be worth more than all of them. He retired in his 50s. He owned Standard Oil, which had like 64% market share. It was so big that the government, you know, they didn't like that. They made him break it down. So companies like Shell, Exxon, like I think it was like 60 companies they made them break it down into because that's how big and successful he was. And why do we talk about this stuff? And we teach you sales and marketing on here, and sometimes we get into topics regarding healthcare, but human psychology, which I'm beginning to love, Craig has a big take into and understands it really well, and I'm learning as we go. So studying the psychology of these guys like the John D. Rockefellers is pivotal to understand some of the things and amass some success that they've had and the tricks that they had. I mean, guys, this book is like $15 on Amazon, and you've got the richest person of all time. You have his secret. You have what he did. A lot of what he did was 10 different habits. He talks about the success. I don't know if I have time to go through all 10, but I want to talk about a few different points, and we'll bounce around. One of the first things that I noticed that he talked about was in regards to his team and things like that is he had a daily meeting, right? Back then, he used to walk to work with his partner and they would talk on their way to work. When I say meetings, everybody hates meetings, right? They do standing meetings now. Now people are doing meetings like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, in and out. I believe in quick meetings. You get on the board. Here's the objective. Here's goals. Boom, 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 boom for the day. I don't care if you have 2 employees, 10 employees, whatever it is. He was very strategic, and he wanted to meet with his 9 executives and have a meeting of the minds kind of every day to talk to them and to get up to speed on a bunch of different items. So getting in sync, it can be very quick. Call it a daily huddle. Call it what you want. But it gets everybody on the same page instead of walking into business that day. And maybe everybody's not aligned in what you're looking to accomplish or what they're looking to accomplish. So it's a quick, hello, let's get it going. You know, I usually was doing a Monday morning meetings. I'd like to start doing them on a daily basis. Something quick conversation, run down a list, going to get you more aligned with your team. But that was one of the most important things he did. I mean, even so that when he left He lived in Cleveland, Ohio. He used to walk in Cleveland, Ohio. But when he moved to New York, they actually, him and his partners, they bought houses near each other so they could continue to walk together and have those productive meetings on their way to work. So daily meetings, right? So you can go into, in this book, in The Titan, what Rockefeller says, the number one thing that set himself apart from his competitors was knowing his numbers. I'm a numbers guy, right? People lie, numbers don't. Love to know my numbers, KPIs, all those good, fun things. If you haven't, go ahead and watch the prior podcast, In the Trenches with Paul Seeger, guy that's doing phenomenally well right now from a prospecting side. And what does he know? He's a numbers guy. He knows his numbers. He knows exactly what he needs to do to hit the number, the production goal that he wants to set for the year. And then he's backing into it. But I know a lot. I got a lot of emails and calls from guys on, that appreciated that episode, and I thought it was phenomenal watching it over. Is he knows his numbers down to a T, exactly how many calls he has to make, how many meetings, how big they have to be, so on and so forth to hit those numbers that he wants to be at. Now, it could be production numbers, retention numbers, whatever that may be. He said the number one competitive advantage that I have over all my competitors is I know my numbers inside and out like no one else. Now, obviously, his was more complex than what we're doing, so that should motivate you to at least know what your numbers are, because many of us don't, including myself sometimes, we let it go. It's not as important running a smaller business, but when you're running a major business, it's extremely important to the fact of he needed to know his numbers every single day from the oil that's in the other countries. And there was no texting or emails or anything like that back then. But he made sure that he got a message and knew exactly what his numbers were every single day. Not to let anything slip through the cracks, right? Because things can go south very quickly when you have a business of that size. So KPIs, right? So the other thing I want to talk about is establishing a reputation. He talks about in the book, having a reputation of your brand through your marketing, who you are, not having a bad reputation. Because, you know, I'll give you an example. I did a seminar one time and I spoke to a prospect, didn't get it, thought I was going to get it. For whatever reason, some things happened with management and leadership here and it got, Ken got kicked down the road a little bit. Okay. So had a seminar, got a call 6 months later, saying, hey, John, I saw the event. I couldn't make it. Wanted to be there. You're our guy. We know you're our guy. Let's do this. And they were ready, right? So when you look at establishing a reputation, it's continuously to put out what you're doing, expressing the success that you have. Shout out to John Clay. We talked yesterday, and he's going to be delivering a surplus check to one of his clients. And I said, John, let's get those pictures. He said, hey, I'm going to get a picture. I said, make sure you get that picture. We're going to put them on your website. Make sure it's consistent and everybody sees this isn't some one-time thing. This is over and over and over, and my messaging is consistent. And when they go check you out, it's there. And we're consistently putting out those messages to the prospects, to the people that we want to hear. So we're keeping that reputation of being the real deal, creating outcomes, not a fly-by-night guy, because sometimes it's going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Some of you on here listening are independent guys. Some of you are working for larger houses. Larger houses have established credibility with the brand of 40 years and their size. They get that pass. Independents aren't going to get that pass. So if you don't establish a reputation and brand, or at least start now, right? 2020, some of the things we talked about last week, what do you want to start now? Start establishing your reputation as the authority, as the credible consultant in your marketplace that understands what he's doing, getting results for clients over and over again. Establish that reputation, guys. One thing that I struggled with in my earlier time, and we've talked about it before, is I had to know everything. I had to be the smartest guy. I had to know how to do everything. I had general agents. They wanted to help me with some of the marketing, some of the service stuff. And I said, no. You don't know what you're doing. You can't do it like me. And I didn't want to leverage. I had to do everything myself, right? And I realize now that was completely wrong, okay? It was stupid of me to think that I have to touch everything and do everything. I can't trust anybody. I'm the best, and only I can do it. It was just baloney, right? So leverage. So work less and leverage more, he talks about. Leverage more. Leverage other people. Leverage their ideas. Leverage them being able to do things for you and bring that to your desk, and then you take it over, okay? You know, he talks about, you know, I'd rather have 1% from 100 people working for me than have 100% of just me doing it itself, meaning I can get all these other people and leverage all these other people to do the work. That's how I'm going to grow. That's how I'm going to scale. These 10 habits are about scaling the business primarily. That may or may not apply to you, but a lot of the daily habits and the things he talks about is very vital and important and valuable to you guys. That's why I wanted to cover it today. So again, what things can you do to leverage? I know people that are sending work to India to do their spreadsheets, outsourcing stuff to China to do things. What are some of the things, the busy work that you can get rid of and get off your table that's going to create outcomes for you and you're able to do the higher level stuff? Something that I started to do more and more, and it's like I get more done, I write more business, I do more business, and it seems that I'm working less with the busy work. Am I still working a lot? I don't feel like I'm working a lot because I'm doing different type of work. I'm doing mental work, strategy work, things like that, more higher level important work that most of you should be doing versus all the busy work that we think, hey, we need to continue to do this and this is how this is going to work for me, this is going to help me, and I have to touch everything. So advice would be leverage more, get other people to do the work for you, automate, delegate, outsource, ADO, you've heard it before. Check into that. See if there's places in your business that you do that. Even if you have a sales or telemarketing, think of the long-term factor instead of saying, this is a $2,000 a month expense to me this month and looking at the $2,000 instead of saying, okay, this is $24,000 for the year. What are the likelihood of me closing more than that this year, okay? What's $24,000 after taxes? Most of you in 30, 40, 50% tax brackets. We're really only talking about $12,000 to $15,000 a year at the end of the day. So it's really only, let's call it $15,000. You have the opportunity now, right? More business, grow your business, and over time, it's going to make a lot more sense instead of you trying to do it yourself. I did that in the beginning and thought, let me take it slow. I didn't have the money. I didn't want to take as much risk. I didn't want to borrow money. And I can tell you, it was absolutely a mistake because I could have been off to the races a lot quicker had I invested in myself and I believed. And that's what it was. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to go into debt. I had all these negative beliefs of all this stuff that could go wrong could happen. Most of you are at a point in your career where you know you can close business. It's just a matter of we need to get in front of more people. So give that some thought and see if it's something that you can apply to your business this year. Okay. So getting employee input, prospect input, client input, another big thing, right? So if you're looking to have those daily huddles and those meetings, is getting the feedback of, you know, I talk to my employees, what can I do to help you? What can I do more to make your life easier? And as you start to see different people do certain things, you realize, well, these people shouldn't be doing these things anymore, okay? We need to hire somebody under you to support you to do that because I want you doing higher level things. And as more as you move up, then I can get to climb up even higher and do more strategy stuff. So getting that employee feedback on your processes, your employers, things that work well. You know, when I bring on new employees, I tell them, listen, this is the way we do things. There's a right way, there's a wrong way, and there's my way, right? We're going to start out doing it my way now because you don't know what you're doing. Once you get to the point where you understand what you're doing, you say, John, you know what? I think there's a better way to do this. I think this is more strategic. This is going to be a better process. I'm open to your ideas, right? In the beginning, I'm not because you don't know what you're doing yet. You need to follow the process and build it into your subconscious of what you're actually doing. Okay, but getting that employee feedback, especially from people that have been there for a long time, you may be doing some stupid things that you don't even know about or have them doing it, and they may be too scared to change it or ask, or, hey, this is the boss's process and I can't do nothing about it. Allow them to grow, allow them to come up with ideas and give you feedback on what can be done better because, you know, you look at Henry Ford, they're like, you know, Henry Ford built the Ford Model T and cars and stuff like that. It's like, you know, how did you know all this stuff? How did you do all this stuff? And it was, well, I didn't know any of this stuff. It was, I hired somebody who's really good at each different sector and had them do it and trusted in them do it. So employee feedback, very important. You look at customer feedback, same thing. You want to retain the accounts. What customer feedback can you have at those renewal meetings? I usually start out the meeting, how has the year gone? Anything you're unhappy with, happy, what did you like, what did you not like, what can we need? I don't always ask what can we do better, but I ask them in that manner of what didn't you like. And those are my keys. Those are, you know, the indicators of things that probably we can do better so life is better for them. So getting that customer feedback. Feedback too is, you know, we recently have done Zoom video meetings for renewals, okay? Talk to other brokers out there that are doing. We're starting to do them, right? Look, I'm getting to you digitally. I'm in another state than you and I can get to you. There's no reason you can't do it with your customers. You just probably haven't asked. Get them that feedback and say, hey, we can come out on next Thursday. We can either do an in-person meeting or we can do a video conference meeting and wrap it up real quick. Here is your renewal in advance. Would you like to schedule a video call that we can go over? Or would you like me to come into the office to see you? Give them the options. Some of them you may not want to give an option because they're under a certain dollar amount of revenue and it makes more sense to start pushing them in that direction. And if they don't like it and you don't want to go anymore, you wipe your hands with them and be done. Prospect feedback, you know, that's another thing too that you can do is solicit feedback from prospects. If you don't get an account, you can always ask them, especially they may not want to say it through phone because they may want to hide behind an email or they don't want to say it to your face, but you can just say, hey, Lindsay, you know, I understand that you chose to go with another firm and that's okay. We understand that. We don't expect to win every account just like your business doesn't, but we're always looking to improve and get better at what we do. So what are the things we could have done better maybe to win your account? And they may be honest with you. Maybe they'll lie to you, but some of them may be honest with you. So why not ask for the opinion? Because you may not even know it. You may just think of the story that you're telling yourself in your head, which many of us do, is they're an idiot. They're stupid. This, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe they're not coming. Maybe it's something we don't even know and we're beating ourselves up about it and thinking, God, I did this wrong, right? So soliciting, gathering feedback by the prospects, customers, employees, big habit of John D. Rockefeller that he talks about. I want to talk about is, yeah, we talked about working less, vision and strategy, right? Strategy doesn't always have to be is new business strategy. Because that's what people think. How am I going to win new business? The strategy of selling, and we talk about marketing selling on here a lot, is I talked about earlier is I don't work as hard physically, I would say, in the minutiae as I once did. Sometimes I feel guilty because I feel like, well, I'm not working as hard. But then again, I look at the watch and I'm like, wait, hold on. It's 3 a.m. and I'm still thinking. I'm still working. Okay. I'm working inside my mind. So working strategically with vision of things can happen bad. You could have lost the count. I've talked to a lot of you. I talked to a consultant yesterday and he lost his biggest account. Okay. He did the right thing, lost his biggest account, and he feels good about it because he was doing the right thing. So he's not going to sit around and beat himself up of what he did because he knew he did the right thing. So instead of sitting and thinking of the negative, he's thinking of the positive of what's to come, because if he tells that message to so many more people, most people are going to say yes to him by doing the right thing, not doing the wrong thing. So some of the things that I do is instead of thinking of the negative now, and you know, I've got my own problems, I've got things that hit me yesterday, hit me the day before that are going on, but instead of thinking on a short-term basis, I'm thinking strategically as this is a short-term problem. Okay, to the bigger picture, because what we're starting to do is only begun. Okay, you're growing your business. You've only begun it. We're going to be in business in 5 years, in 10 years. You're only scratching the surface just like we are. So what's happening right now isn't going to have that much of an effect on you than you think it's going to happen, right? So my vision is clear for 5 years from now, and there's not much things that can happen right now to me and my company that it's going to affect the five-year vision, because everything is so small right now that I have a bigger vision then, that you could take away everything that I have right now and it still wouldn't affect the five-year vision because it's such a small piece to what we're looking to do and accomplish. So having the vision is kind of like that's a factor that helps you get past of all the shit that's going on. And I've been through problems and lawsuits that ate at me and wore at me every single day. And yet I still was able to overcome the adversity of them and come in and close business because my vision, my strategy were bigger than the things that were happening to me today. Because listen, guys, we're all going to fall into it. And I still deal with it on a daily basis, but I'm working through it. But having, I call it the tunnel vision, having that tunnel vision of everything that's happening to me right now is, it's there. Look at it like you're sitting on the sideline, you're watching. It's a Greyhound bus just going by, right? It's there. You see it. You hear it. But it's going by. It's not going to stay there. It's not parked in front of you, running you over. It's going by. And that's how we have to think of it is instead of getting caught in a moment thinking we got hit by a bus. No, the bus is just going by. Let the bus go by and continue on with what you're looking to do and accomplish because you've had success to this point. So continue with that. So how are some of the things that you know, vision strategy is things that keep you in your head. When I first started, I had a board. We were in a basement, so I had these sound boards. I was looking for a sheetrock board, right? You can go to the store and Home Depot or whatever and buy a board, and it's like a soundproofing board, right? Because I had my telemarketer next to me, and we were in a basement. It was loud. I had my dog next to me. She's sitting here still snoring next to me, and it got loud. So I had this board in front of me, and I used to take a Black Magic marker, and I used to write on the board all the time, put stuff in my subconscious. Funny enough, I put business is war, which it is, and John D. Rockefeller talks about business is war. Win was subconsciously put in my head every day. But what I'm getting at is keeping a scoreboard, right? Okay. John D. Rockefeller was disciplined. He was very generous, a lot of charity work, but he was ruthless. He was a ruthless business person, okay? And he kept score on what was going on. So when you have a number you want to hit, I hate to call them goals, but if I want to do $250,000 in revenue in this year, well, that's going to be on the board every day, and I'm going to have to look at that every single day. There's no hiding from that. If you're by yourself, put a picture of, hey, I recently got this new watch. This watch used to be on my board when I first started, okay? When I got a little success, I went out and bought what I envisioned. Next is the big house, the nice cars, whatever it is you want. You may want more family time, more vacation time, whatever it is, put it on the board next to keeping score because here's what I want in life, okay? And here's how I get it. Keep score on what you're doing. Keep score if you have a team. Let everybody know this is our goal for the year so people understand where they are on the goal and people are held accountable to hitting those goals and those targets. Everybody plays a position when you have a team. I understand you might be two people or three people, but everybody's going to assume their role. They may have a role of retention, okay? Where are you on a retention block, okay? Every month, are they renewing at 100%, right? Hey, we're looking at 100% retention, and you might be able to put on a board and number of accounts and percentage-wise and just mark it off every month, and they know, hey, we're hitting that goal, and if we hit that goal, they get a bonus at the end of the year based on retention. That's what I do with my employees on my retail side. But the goals that I have, sometimes they're big, they're crazy, but you know what? I get to look at them every day, and why not? Okay? Keeping a scoreboard everywhere that's visible. Think of a football game, right? You ever watch a football game, and in the fourth quarter, they're blowing up and down the field and putting on points like crazy, and you go, Jesus Christ. Why couldn't they have done that all game? Why did they wait till now to do that? Look how easy to go up and down. Because they're looking at the scoreboard. And guess what's happening, guys? Time's running out, okay? They see the score. They see that they're losing. They know there's only a quarter left. So now they're putting their foot on the gas and going after it, okay? So I'm thinking in the same way. We live by quarters here in the consulting insurance business, and if you're listening, you're not in it, whatever business you go on a quarterly, an annual, semi-annually, so on and so forth basis, keep score on a quarterly basis, just like in a football game. As you get to the end of the year, you know, hey, I got to hit this goal. I got to work my ass off to get there. I always like to get off to a good start. I like to count 1-1 for the following year to get me off to a start. I don't close with 1-1. I start with 1. It gives me a kick start for next year. I can start early, and I know, shit, I need to start my prospecting and marketing in October and November, because there's a 90 to 120 day lag to have success in January, February, March, so on and so forth. So I'm off to the races and I'm not looking at myself in failure 6 months of the year saying, how am I going to hit this goal? And I didn't do shit the first 6 months of the year. So those are some of the things that he talks about, and I thought they would be good for you guys to know them. Some of the other things is we talked about last week, that one thing, and the number one priority is, what is the number one priority, okay? Last week, we discussed what's your one thing in 2020 that you're going to focus on doing that's going to lead you to more success. Just one thing. Don't do more than one thing because you won't do it. Right? I saw a meme today, a picture of somebody drinking a smoothie January 1st, and it's January 6th, and you're drinking a bottle of vodka, right? We've given up on our one thing that we want to do for the year already. Most people have already given up. It's already passed. It's the ninth of them a year. They've already given it up. So don't let that be you. Figure out what that one thing is. Set a couple priorities for the year. Check the KPIs. Get in a rhythm. And more success to you guys. We're going to wrap it there. Again, thanks you guys for watching. We will see you on the next one. Same place, same time. Facebook Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll see you on the next one, guys. Take care.